Welcome to the Claim Hunters. I am Chris Tidball, an executive claim consultant with Subro IQ, where we routinely find our clients significant amounts of trapped cash. On our show, we will explore the epidemic of trapped cash across not only the insurance industry, but the global business landscape. Our guests bring a unique perspective on challenges faced by businesses that impact their bottom line. We believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and this is the forum to tell it. We hope you enjoy today's episode and stick around to learn more about how you can be a guest in 20 minutes or less. Well, welcome. Good afternoon. I have today Aaron Erickson and Paul Trunnell from the law firm of Boyer Erickson, Burdett and Baudet and Trunnell from Missoula, Montana.
Yes.
Did I get all that right?
You did.
Okay. So welcome to the show. Aaron, you are up for a pretty big award here at the CLM conference.
Yes.
You want to tell us about that?
Sure. I was nominated for Outside Defense Counsel of the Year.
Okay.
And I am one of four finalists. So we will find out tonight.
Yeah. Awesome. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think you're going to win.
Well, we'll see. There's a lot of very worthy finalists.
And Paul, you said that your firm was a finalist a couple of years ago for another award.
Yeah, in 2023, we won an award with Liberty Mutual as one of the firms that was nationwide that was selected as their outside panel counsel of the year.
Wow.
2023.
I mean, that's a, you know, big award for a big company. My son works for Liberty.
Yeah.
So that's doubly cool. And speaking of sons, your son just had an award?
Yes. So he's from a small hockey team in Montana, the Montana Wolves, and they actually just took third at National, USA Hockey National.
Wow.
Third place.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing for 14U.
Yep. So does he have aspirations to go on and play bigger things?
He does, but we're having him focus on school and hockey and other interests, but he sure does, yeah. But for the time being, he's going to stay at home. He's not going off to any hockey academies.
Okay, so what's his favorite hockey team?
His favorite hockey team?
Yeah.
The Edmonton Oilers. My husband's from Edmonton.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
All right, that was that Gretzky, was it?
Oh, yeah, great one. Yeah, but now it's McDavid.
I know, I just saw that.
Yeah.
Wow, exciting stuff. So Montana's one of my favorites. It's an absolutely beautiful state. But I've got to say you have some pretty weird laws there.
We do.
Right? So we have a lot of the listeners here, you know, are across the industry, right? And we have a lot of understanding of states like New York and Florida and California because we get so many claims from those states. Mm-hmm. But Montana's unique in a lot of ways. So share with us a little bit about, you know, what makes Montana different than other states?
Well, I will start and then I'm going to let you talk more in depth. But we are first party and third party bad faith state.
Okay.
So we have a unique job in that we have to really be looking out for our insurance company clients to make sure that when we get the cases in, we are keeping them out of hot water. So we've always got to look at it from a holistic perspective of not just defending the claim, but what are the various traps for bad faith, first party and third party. So there are some pretty unique and in-depth rules, and I'll let you talk about some of them.
So third party, I get the first party bad thing, right?
Yeah.
Because as an insurer, you got a fiduciary duty to your insurer. The third party is, that's really troubling because that's by nature an adversarial relationship. So how do you establish third party bad faith?
A lot of the cases would be the duty to effectuate a prompt settlement when liability is determined to be reasonably clear.
Okay.
That would be kind of the classic.
So fatality and minimal policy limits.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
If you have, you know, something that's, you know, a pretty typical classic admitted liability, rear end auto accident.
Right.
And a lot of it, the ones that we will see, kind of the very basic example is an insurer comes in and lowballs a settlement.
Okay.
And they're just offering far under what, you know, the plaintiff's counsel believes their case is worth. That's one that we see.
Delay.
And then delays in not getting a case evaluated, not making the payments when they're necessary to be made.
Okay.
Some of the third party bad faith comes out of what you're talking about, which is the unique, we have an advance pay rule in Montana, which is, we refer to the case as the Ridley decision, which is the duty of insurers to make advance payments to a claimant when liability is reasonably clear and when medical causation is reasonably clear.
So I need
before
surgery,
a settlement.
Really?
Before
so,
a settlement.
So there's an accident. I need surgery. I get the money fronted to me in advance of the settlement.
Okay. So first of all, liability has to be reasonably clear. Okay. Causation has to be clear. Okay. And if those two are met and you need a surgery, you have the surgery.
Okay.
Once the bills are incurred, then you give the bill and the record to the insurance company, right? And they determine whether or not it should be paid.
So the causation, that would be my concern, right? So liability, I get it. Rear end accident, I'm at fault for the accident. So the other party says they need a spinal fusion, yet they've had a bad back for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
And the records show that.
Yeah.
So the causation is clearly not there. How do you fight that?
And that's often is the litigated issue is the medical causation component. You
know, okay.
Using your example where somebody has pre-existing conditions
right.
that have a long history, and you start digging into that and you say, not so fast.
Right.
You were going to need this spinal fusion or likely going to need it regardless. So then you don't have the advance pay duty.
Right.
So
okay.
then the insurer, it doesn't have to advance pay before a settlement. And then you go through the kind of the normal litigation process where you're defending the policyholder and you say,
right.
okay, as part of the total settlement, we'll consider the risk that a jury might give you the cost of that surgery,
right.
but they may not. So that's a disputed fact that would go to a jury and there
okay.
wouldn't be an advance pay obligation in that situation. So if medical causation is disputed,
right.
That's why we have the jury in the underlying court case.
Yeah.
And the insurer doesn't have the advance pay obligation.
So Montana's been growing as a state, that whole part of the country. A lot
yeah.
of people have been leaving places like California, moving to Montana. California, where I started my career, notorious for fraud and staged accidents and, you know, pre-existing conditions are everybody's got them. So they're moving to Montana. Are you seeing any type of fraud trends? An increase or?
In my practice, I have not yet seen, I
okay.
haven't seen that quite yet. No.
Okay.
No.
So surgeries for unrelated causes?
No.
No, not yet. The, you know, the medical community isn't big enough yet to probably recruit and sustain the doctors who are willing
gotcha.
To be on the cutting edge.
Yeah.
If anything, a little bit of Montana is somewhat the opposite, where there are groups of orthopedic surgeons who won't see people involved in motor vehicle collisions.
Really? Okay.
Because it hurts their recovery rate on their surgeries if they need to do it.
Oh.
Because
yeah.
they realize statistically.
Yeah.
You know, people in work comp claims and auto collisions,
right.
their recovery outcome is not as good.
Okay.
And the doctors are busy enough. They don't need to deal with people who aren't going to keep their recovery statistics
yeah.
high.
Interesting.
I've seen that with
yeah.
some orthopedic
okay.
groups.
Yeah.
So
a little bit of honesty left in Americana.
For now.
To some extent.
Yeah.
And we certainly see some. What I've seen is a trend with some of the outside firms that come and get the occasional Montana case,
right.
they bring their doctors with them.
Oh, yeah.
And so they'll have their Montana, Missoula resident will go to Salt Lake City
okay.
and get evaluated by the plaintiff's special doctor. And then you get that medical opinion.
Sounds like it could be an
yeah.
episode of Yellowstone.
So you see a little bit of that, the doctor, where the lawyers bring the doctor with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting concept.
You're right.
What other trends are you seeing?
Well, we have seen an increase, obviously, in jury verdicts in Montana.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that is true nationally, like with the nuclear verdicts. And,
yeah.
But in Montana, it hasn't always been that way. I mean, the best way I would describe it is the value of the dollar really is the value of the dollar in Montana, or it
right.
used to be, right?
Okay.
Because our juries are really more blue collar, like working,
right.
you know, either farm folk or...
right.
And so I do see that changing because with the population that's moving in, you have people coming in from outside the state that their idea of the value of the dollar is inflated.
Yeah.
It's just different than what it really is in Montana, or they are working remotely. And so they have salaries that are not reflective
yeah.
of what Montana salaries are if you're working in Montana.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. Oh, yeah.
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 So there has been, I mean, obviously a trend of higher jury verdicts, but we haven't really seen anything like crazy nuclear verdicts yet in Montana.
So do you think, so third-party litigation funding, right? So Montana, I would imagine, has a lot of smaller firms.
We do.
And smaller firms for years, it was always tough to take something to trial because 3 weeks out of the office is a long time. But now with, you know, private equity fueled third-party litigation funding, I can take a month out and take that risk. Do you think that's going to play a role in higher verdicts?
Our legislature has addressed it somewhat, but we are not seeing that yet in our state yet.
So do you think, with some of the unique laws that you have, has the legislature taken any action to address things like so third-party bad faith, for example?
Yeah,
they have, and they've done it, I guess, really in two forms. One is they've made a statutory requirement of what you must include if you're a plaintiff, if you make a time limit demand.
Okay.
And you have to meet the statutory criteria that are very specific.
Okay.
You're supposed to include if you have a pre-existing condition, you're supposed to include information about it. You have to include the supporting wage loss information, basic stuff.
Right.
But actually it was born out of, I talked to the legislator who put that legislation forward. He said, he just got sick of seeing cookie cutter demand letters.
Oh, yeah.
And pay me in 10 days or else.
Or emails. And like you've got emailed on a Thursday and you've got till Monday to respond to this demand.
Yeah.
So this actually says 60 days and they're technically supposed to send it via certified mail.
Okay.
So they put safeguards in place. And if they don't follow those, an insurance company doesn't respond necessarily, then that can't be used as evidence of bad faith against the insurance company.
Step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's actually was a big win, I would
say.
Yeah.
And then the 2021 legislature was very active and it also amended our collateral source statute.
Okay.
To now require that medical expenses be, if a plaintiff is putting forward medical expenses, and you're Medicaid eligible, for example, the admissible amount is what Medicaid paid and the provider accepted. So it's the discounted rate,
right?
Which makes a significant difference because, I mean, I have a Medicaid case right now, bilateral, two shoulder surgeries, $15,000 in medical expenses is what would be admissible because she's a Medicaid recipient.
Yeah, so no more letters of protection.
Previously, it would be the gross amount billed, which would be, you know, $100,000 or some significant number. But now the evidence is limited to what the plaintiff can put forward, which, you know, hopefully would have a reduction to the extent juries use the medical expenses as an anchor.
Oh, yeah.
Generals, you know, that concept, it would help.
So is that any collateral source or just government collateral source?
It's Medicaid, private health insurance.
Okay.
You know, anything that has a discount, effectively a discount rate on your medical expenses applies.
So there's a benefit for the carriers to utilize, you know, medical bill review, for example, to rein in, you know, the deceptive practices, the upcoding, the unbundling, the modifier abuse, all the games that were played for years.
Yes.
It sounds like you're moving in the right direction.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm from Florida, and obviously bad faith has always been an issue there. And we went through the same exercise, the same time frame, really. We one time had a 15-minute bad faith, you know, demand, like pay us in 15 minutes. I worked for a very large company based out of New York City. Common thing was to send the demand to nobody at the PO box in New York City that we would get 3 months later. I mean, so it's encouraging to see, you know, states taking, you know, taking action on this. I guess, are you seeing a benefit on the premium side or premiums going down at all? Or?
You know, I don't know the answer to that.
I don't think so.
No.
I think the premiums, you know, it's a nationwide issue I see and have heard. And I don't think it's any different in Montana because it's, you know, medical. It's
keep going up.
Keep going up.
Yeah.
And especially as the medical side drives the underwriting review of some of this, when they look at claims, it's no different in our state. Medical, you know, is expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. So if people wanted to learn more about your firm, where would they go?
They could go to our website,
www.bebtlaw.com. Okay.
Or I have a really active LinkedIn profile.
Okay.
And that also has links to our website and talks about our firm and our firm philosophy. And I think it's of particular interest to carriers. in terms of our firm. It's a little bit different than other firm models.
Yeah,
so
it sounds yeah. great. I would encourage people to go check it out.
Yeah.
Again, you're from a beautiful part of the country. You know,
yeah,
like to get out there every once in a while. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
If anybody wants to apply to be a guest on our show, head on over to subroiq.com and hit the podcast link. And cut.
Thank you for joining the Claim Hunters. We hope you enjoyed our show. If you would like to share your story, head on over to subroiq.com and click the YouTube button.